I'd like to welcome Ariane Ode. You'll have seen from Ariane's books out there that she has a great depth of experience in politics, bullying, coaching, and I think we're going to have a lot to learn. Thanks, Ariane.
Hello. This is the first time I've spoken with one of these, so can I have some feedback that this isn't shouting you out or drowning you? It's okay. Cool. I'm going to speak to you today about the work that I do in helping clients recover from experiences of workplace bullying. And I particularly want to talk about how EFT is such a wonderful tool for helping people recover from what I think of as a morass in their minds, in their thinking about themselves, and in their lives that can come after an experience of workplace bullying. Now, I don't know how many of you will have had personal experience of bullying behaviour which you've been on the receiving end of, or experiences of seeing bullying happen in various workplaces that you've been involved in, or indeed from working with these issues with your clients. So I'm going to be including a narrative of one of my clients of a very serious instance of workplace bullying, because actually the level of betrayal in it and the level of injustice in it are so stark, and because EFT became such a very useful tool for my client to help them recover. But before I talk about that, I'd like to tell you a little bit about what I do in my practice so I can set EFT and bullying in the context of the kind of work that I do. I work as a chartered psychologist, as a coach, and as Gunther's mentioned, I write books. And I mix business psychology and professional acting. And my aim in working with clients is to do two things: to work with them intrapersonally so they can learn more about their internal landscape, their values, their character, and their personality as they relate to the workplace. But then also, with the help of my actor colleagues, work interpersonally in terms of the behaviour that they use when they're in the most challenging situations they face at work, particularly those which, if they don't handle them effectively or influentially, will result in them losing personal power or becoming vulnerable to psychological harm. I work with organisations who ask me to work with their employees, but I increasingly work with people who've read one or more of the books that I've written and who then want me to work with them without their employer knowing. And it's primarily from this group that I end up working with people who are in very political situations, are subject to bullying behaviour, or are involved in adversarial relationships at work. And I coach two main groups of people. The first group are those for whom things are actually going very well, and they're either about to be given or are already being given significant authority at work, and what they'd like is some development in how to use that influence as effectively as possible. But I then work with the second group of people, and they're people for whom life has become quite tough. And there can be a number of contexts for this. Sometimes somebody has made a complaint against them, perhaps for bullying behaviour, or perhaps they made a mistake which has come back to haunt them, and they've become involved in a disciplinary process at work. Maybe they've been referred to their professional body. Maybe they've actually been ill. And whatever the circumstances are, they're beginning to affect them at work, and they're finding that situations which they used to handle without having to think about it are now becoming more and more difficult for them. And within this group, there are also people who are subject to or have historically been subject to bullying behaviour. And in this second group, and particularly with the people who are subject to bullying behaviour, what is in jeopardy is their self-esteem, their self-confidence, and their ability in the moment of being in a potentially or actually abusive situation to select and use behaviour which would be really self-preserving or self-protective or influential, and which would therefore mitigate some of the abusive dynamic that they're in. And I find that with people in all of these categories, but particularly the latter, EFT is a simply wonderful tool for helping people sift through all the ways in which, completely without knowing it, they're blocking themselves from their own inner wisdom and their own inner resources, from which, in the moment of an attack or after it, they could potentially find a strategy that would be more useful for them, more self-preserving and more self-effective. I've mentioned that I work intrapersonally to help people learn more about their inner world. And my aim there is to show people or help people find within themselves additional resources which they can call on, which when they're overwhelmed by trauma and the backlog of emotion that workplace bullying can create, people are simply blocked from. And I also work interpersonally, which is where my actor colleagues come in. So when my client is ready, what I will ask them to do is to tell me about some of the most challenging and difficult situations which they faced at work, and we recreate them exactly as they happened when my client was so disabled by them. So with the help of one or two or three, however many is relevant, actors, we recreate the very situation that my client found so difficult to handle, and I have them be themselves in an exact replica of that situation. So using the psychological insights that my client and I have developed up to that point, using feedback from the actor characters, and then using my client's own spontaneous learning, we identify what they're actually doing, which is helping them and is self-protective, and what they should stop doing and what they should replace those behaviours with. And so with those tools, they feel less anxious. And the next time there is an attack, they've got a different set of choices which they can use to enable them to feel that they're not failing themselves by being unable to prevent a bullying cycle from continuing. And throughout all this work, EFT is just wonderful. Firstly, it helps clients process the backlog of emotion that an experience of workplace bullying can create for someone. The anger at being targeted unjustly at work, the frustration they feel at being unable to protect themselves, and often the really very great sense of betrayal that their employing organisation left them in this situation and didn't do anything to protect them, particularly if there was someone in a senior level who knew enough about what was going on to be able to know that it was workplace bullying, but who didn't intervene. And very often people feel phenomenally frustrated with themselves because they were unable to either handle that situation better, as they would see it, or prevent it at all. And what EFT does is enable us bit by bit to tap through these issues, to tap through the emotional overwhelm, to tap through the confusion and the despair of feeling unsafe at work as an adult, and enable my client to get in touch with their own inner wisdom again, their own capacity to learn and their own energy. One of the critical goals in coaching someone to recover from workplace bullying is to help them find their personal power again, and in fact, in some cases, to own it more fully than they did before their experience. And this is a theme I'd like to return to shortly, but I'd like to take a little detour first and talk a bit more about what I think are some of the greatest challenges that people subject to workplace bullying face. And for me, the greatest challenge is to remain objective about themselves during and after an experience of bullying. People start to think things about themselves which they would never have thought of before they were bullied. They start to lose sight of who they are, of what their strengths are, of what they believe in, of what their values are. And it's as if that in the sort of ground of the trauma that they've experienced, lies start to take seed and grow. And people begin to think less of themselves. They describe themselves in terms which do not reflect their behaviour, which don't reflect their character. And they start to question sometimes the very path that they've taken in life. So great is the collapse in their self-esteem and their self-worth as a result of the experiences that they've had at work. And in this ground, EFT again is absolutely brilliant because we can work on the limiting beliefs, the untruths, and all the distortions that my clients have started to tell themselves about themselves as a result of being attacked at work, and replace them with truth. Most people I've worked with who've been bullied suffer a really catastrophic collapse in their self-esteem, and things which they would not have thought twice about, tasks at work or at home, which they just have done without even thinking about it, they can start to find incredibly difficult and sometimes impossible to complete. And so one of the things that happens is they start to feel that they can't cope with situations which ordinarily they do without thinking about them. And against that backdrop, many clients are vulnerable to depression. They avoid social situations, they feel they can't cope with the complexity of the workplace, and so they don't go out, they stay at home, and they don't contribute to their hobbies and pastimes to the extent that they would have done. And what they're afraid of is that something will happen that they're not able to handle, and this will then feed the cycle of them feeling helpless and hopeless and less able than they used to think of themselves. And again, in that whole area, EFT is brilliant because we can start to tap through the very specific fears that are stopping them from going out, that are causing them to undermine themselves and their quality of life, even when they're not at work and are back in the home and in the workplace, back in their home and amongst their friends. And we can help them find their energy again. Very often I find that people who have had experiences of bullying, and particularly extensive experiences of bullying, are carrying such a backlog of emotion that they don't have the energy to contribute to their life outside work as much as they would have done before. So much are they consumed with trying to get through it at work, using the resources that they have available to them, which are necessarily depleted. I'd like to tell you a bit about a client of mine whose name, well, it's not her name, I'm going to call her Annie, and she has given me permission to tell you in some detail what happened to her. Annie and I started to work together in the summer of 2010, and at that time, with that employer that she worked with, she was involved in a management position where she needed to be very methodical and systematic and very detailed in her attention to her work. My experience of Annie was of somebody who was very honest. She could be very direct when she was confronting. She was very hardworking, and doing a really good job, as she understood it, in a very conscientious, detailed, methodical way was really important to her, and it was quite an important part of her self-esteem. In order to do her job well, she needed the active cooperation of a group of peers, one of whom, I'm going to call Jane, played a really important part in Annie's working world. Jane provided Annie with feeds of information, which Annie then worked on and passed along. And when this narrative began, Jane and Annie were friends and they were sharing a flat. And in their after-hours discussions in the flat, very often, Annie would self-disclose to Jane about her vulnerabilities and her self-doubts, amongst which was how important for her her work performance was in enabling her to feel good about herself, and that it was a key component of her self-esteem. Now, Annie knew that she was vulnerable because work was so important to her and her performance was so important to her. And in confiding in her friend, she did so in a very trusting and childlike way. Initially, the two of them worked very well together, and Annie got done all the things she was meant to get done by when she was meant to get them done, and to the standard that she was pleased with. But then the situation changed. Jane moved out of that shared flat and bought a house, which was something that Annie was really pleased for her about. And that decision to move out of the shared flat precipitated an unvoiced decision to begin a campaign of workplace bullying by Jane against Annie. And from what I can tell of the narrative as it was presented to me, it was quite purposed, it was quite ruthless, and it had an absolutely devastating effect on Annie. The first thing Jane did was stop sending feeds of information through. So she denied Annie the data that Annie needed to do her job properly, while at the same time whispering about her behind her back to Annie's manager, Jane's manager, and the other peers and seniors who were involved in that group who managed this particular set of data. And the whispering campaign was about how Annie wasn't up to her job. She wasn't effective at what she was doing. She was missing deadlines. She wasn't really competent and shouldn't really have that level of authority or responsibility. So in meetings, which both of the women attended, and often in front of a group of other colleagues as well, Jane would verbally harangue Annie, call her incompetent, tell her she was failing, ask her where the information was, why hadn't she got it to her on time, and generally portray her as lacking the competence to do her job. This happened in front of others, and this group of others had already been pre-whispered to not to be surprised that this would happen, and so none of them said anything. And Annie was left having to deal with assaults upon her character and her competence by someone who she still thought of as a friend at that stage, in front of a group of other people, none of whom appeared to notice what was happening, and who all remained silent and passive. And it was the presence of silent witnesses, none of whom said anything or defended her, even though they should really have known her well enough by then to know that what was being said about her couldn't be taken at face value, who remained silent, that was so devastating for her and left her feeling completely alone. Jane also sent a series of accusatory emails to Annie, emails that she often wrote either after working hours or at weekends, in which she harangued her erstwhile friend for being miserable, for having no life, for being a failure, and for being generally incompetent at her job. And Annie spent hours justifying on email what she had been doing, how she had been trying to do her job, how she had been seeking to do the best she could and had requested data on numerous occasions from Jane and how it hadn't been forthcoming. And therefore, slowly over time, she got to the point where she was spending so much time justifying why she wasn't able to do her job, that she wasn't doing her job well at all, and she was very aware of it, while also losing credibility in the opinion of a group of colleagues and friends whose opinion of her mattered to her. She reported the verbal assaults, the accusatory emails, and the planned campaign to discredit her to her human resources department and her manager, fully expecting that something decisive would be done. There were meetings and there were discussions, but these took a long time to organise and to happen. And eventually a mediator was brought in and arranged a series of meetings between the two women. At one point, Jane even apologised and said she would stop doing what she was doing, but after a couple of days, she restarted it. And Annie became aware that her erstwhile friend was using her personal knowledge of her, gained from their after-hours chats when they shared a flat, to target her campaign more precisely around a very specific vulnerability that Annie had, which was that her workplace performance mattered to her enormously. And as this growing sense of betrayal became more apparent to her, and she saw that dynamic growing between them, she tried more and more to get Jane to stop, still talking to her as if she was her friend. And the more she did that, the worse the assaults became. Annie's health started to suffer. She didn't sleep, she put on a lot of weight, she became tearful, she found it difficult to concentrate, and her performance dipped even more. And then the situation changed. Jane went too far, and one day she verbally assaulted Annie in front of one of the directors of the organisation, whose opinion she knew she would not be able to influence. And having taken that step too far, she decided she had to do something quite dramatic to protect herself. So what she did was put in a formal complaint for workplace bullying against Annie. And it was seriously considered. An investigator was hired to look at the interactions between the two of them and to take witness statements from various people who had observed the two of them working together. So they both drew up lists of names of people who'd speak on their behalf. And unfortunately for Annie, some of the people on her list had recently left the organisation. The investigator in charge of this tribunal process made the arbitrary decision that only people employed at the time of the tribunal would be called to speak, so that meant that that particular group of people didn't attend. Annie believes that of those who did speak on Jane's behalf, some didn't tell the truth, some told bits of the truth that made it more favourable than it was, and astonishingly, the tribunal upheld the complaint. So having been bullied by Jane for over a year, Annie was found guilty of bullying her, and in the aftermath of that decision decided to leave that organisation, which is when I started to work with her. Whenever I work with someone who has had either one incident of bullying that took them over a personal threshold, or a whole series of incidents, such as in Annie's case, I'm mindful of how much trauma they carry. The trauma of feeling powerless to defend themselves at work, of feeling unsafe in an office environment or in any workplace environment which is not risky, where they should feel safe, the very powerful sense of betrayal that they couldn't find resources to help them at the time they needed them, or effective ways in which to protect themselves or make known what was actually happening to people who were observers but who couldn't really see for whatever reason. And I find that an experience of bullying creates dynamics within the person which are so toxic and which are largely hidden from those around them. And much of that toxicity is an internal dialogue that starts where people start to harangue themselves for not having handled the situation better, where they start to think less of themselves. So that even if they are not in an abusive situation at the time, they're continuing an internal, self-undermining dialogue about how badly they're handling it, that their performance is failing, that they're losing credibility in the eyes of others and themselves, and they don't know what to do about that. And in all of this work, EFT is phenomenally useful. As we know, it helps people change what they think, what they feel, primarily about themselves, and also what conclusions they come to about the experiences that they have had. And this ability to transmute abuse into an opportunity for change and growth is what makes EFT so valuable and can help people recover reasonably speedily from experiences that are really quite devastating. A client comes to me overwhelmed. They're in shock and they're reeling. They might have had one experience which came completely out of the blue, or a whole series of experiences which have left them unable to function anything like they could have done beforehand. They don't sleep well, and they're starting to worry that they will never get back to where they were before this happened. And that's one of the main concerns that people have, that they will never recover, they will never be happy, they'll never be bully-proof, and they will not be able to go back and handle the complexity of the workplace. To add further complexity, let's say this particular client is still in a bit relationship in the workplace with one of the people or several people who have used bullying behaviour in their interactions with them. And let's say they're also carrying an overwhelm of emotion, which makes it very difficult for them to connect with their inner selves and difficult for them to step back and learn about the situation they're in. What they can do with the resources that are available to them and the energy that's available to them is simply get through it, get through another day at work, get to the weekend. But with EFT, what we can start to do is reduce that overwhelm bit by bit. We can start to tap on the emotion, on the fury at being targeted, on the sense of betrayal, on the anger, on the powerlessness and the frustration. And as that overwhelm starts to decrease, so correspondingly the person is able to get in touch with their inner wisdom and their capacity to learn. They develop intrapersonal headspace and gain energy and gain new perspectives, not just on themselves, but actually on their assailants as well. They begin to see the behaviour that has caused them so much upset and horror as more manageable. And they begin to see that they have behavioural options and choices which they can call on in the moment of being in an abusive experience, which can help them manage that interaction in a way that's more self-preserving and self-protective. And when my client's ready, with the help of my ACTA colleagues, we recreate the very situations which they found so immensely disabling. And we help them find behaviour which is comfortable for them, which they can practice as many times as they want in a safe environment, so that when they go back to work, they've got new tools which they can use, new behavioural tools to help them manage their boundaries and manage their choices, and consequently their anxiety levels, that should they find themselves in a similar situation again, begin to reduce. So even if my client is not still in an abusive situation, we still do this, because one of the great fears people have is, if this has happened before, it can happen again. And even if the person who was assailing them, which led them to seek coaching, is no longer part of their working world, there are plenty of other people out there who could take their place. And so working with them in this way gives them specific tools which are behavioural and effective, which they've practiced, which they know work, and which become part of the way they think and feel. And so their anxiety that they might end up being attacked again starts to wane. I think it's highly disabling for an adult to find themselves in a situation where they don't know how to protect themselves in the moment of being attacked. And what that does is set up a ruminating type of thinking where people worry, when will the next attack happen? What will it constitute? Who will be involved? What will the consequences be? How will I handle it? And so helping people through EFT to rethink their choices, and through working with actors to practice those, gives clients a level of comfort which enables their anxiety levels to reduce, enables them to get in touch with their inner wisdom and to use their energy in the most self-preserving and self-protective way. And the key to being able to absorb all these new perspectives is EFT. as I've mentioned, clients need a lot of help with the lies and the untruths that they have started to tell themselves as a result of being taken into an experience of trauma. And it's as if the ground of the trauma enables them to think things about themselves which are not true and which they would not have thought before the experience that took them into trauma. And I tell them that the only thing that exists from their past after we've processed their emotional overwhelm is their thinking about their experiences. And that even if that thinking feels cast in stone, and for most clients it does when we start to have this conversation, actually it's not. It is not cast in stone. It is thinking and thoughts and beliefs which can change. And I tell them that it is their choice, ultimately, what their experiences mean to them. It is their choice what meaning and conclusions they derive from their experiences, and that they can make their most abusive workplace experiences mean different things to them than the bully wanted them to mean, and different things from them that they are currently telling themselves they mean. They do not have to see themselves as unemployable, which some clients have felt, or incompetent, or useless, or a failure. And I tell them, again tapping all the time, that they do matter. They do have intrinsic worth, they are valuable, and they can find something to do as an occupation which they enjoy and which gives them pleasure once more. And throughout this whole journey, EFT is the tool that is the most useful. It enables trauma relief, it enables the backlog of emotion to be reduced, it helps clients replace lies and downright untruths with truth about them. Who they are, what they do think, what their values are, what they believe, and the path that they've taken in life. And it enables space in their minds for new learning as they get in touch with their inner wisdom. And it becomes a tool that they can take away. So they can use it at work, they can use it on the commute, they can use it when they come home, when they're tired, and when their energy levels are down, and they might be tempted to start to think just self-destructively again. On Gwyneth's webpage, on the little section about this talk, there are links to two downloadable handouts. There's one on handling an experience of bullying behaviour in the workplace at the time of an attack, and there's one on how to work effectively with adversarial colleagues. If you think these would be useful for you or your family members or your contacts, clients or friends, please download them and pass them on. They're free. So what is it about an experience of workplace bullying that is so toxic for people who are on the receiving end of bullying behaviour and that makes EFT so immensely useful a tool? Well, for me, it's that workplace bullying is about power. I think that what a workplace bully is trying to do is remove power from the person they target and place it with themselves. And it's in the moment when the person who's been targeted feels that they have lost their power, in other words, they've been unable to protect themselves, to choose to use the behaviour they would like to use, to manage their boundaries to protect themselves, to act as an adult would spontaneously and actively engaging with the issues they're involved with, that the greatest inner damage is done. And that's when people feel they've actually failed themselves, and that's the point of greatest trauma. And it seems to me that that is the point when people start to think toxically and self-destructively about themselves. So that even though that abusive moment has passed, the legacy of it is what the person tells themselves as a result afterwards, and that continues the destructive inner dialogue. So one of the goals is in teaching people to coaching people to find their personal power again and to find their inner equilibrium so they can continue to tell themselves things which are true about themselves even in the next challenging or stressful situation they're in. Let's return for a minute to Annie's narrative. One of the factors in Annie's life which rendered her so vulnerable to the experience of bullying that I described to you was her childlike demeanour, which meant two things. It meant that when she spoke to the Human Resources Department and to the senior managers in the organisation she worked with, she expected that they would spontaneously act decisively and supportively towards her, and they didn't. It also meant that when she spoke to Jane as a friend and said, "You're hurting me, stop doing this," that Jane would. And of course, neither of those two things happened. And somehow, in asking her senior managers for assistance and not getting it, Annie lost her personal power, and she became stuck using the same ineffective behaviour over and over again. She would say to Jane, "You're hurting me, stop doing this." She would offer Jane advice on how badly Jane was handling the issues in her own life. She would say to her, "You know, you've got a lot of anger and aggression in you, why don't you seek help for it?" And every time she did this, it got worse, because Jane hated being spoken to like that, so she upped the ante. And Annie didn't see that dynamic evolving, and when she did, she couldn't change it. So we tapped. We tapped on the most traumatic experiences that she'd had at being verbally abused. We used the movie technique on some of the worst emails and most challenging meetings between the two of them. We tapped on the self-destructive cycles of thought that Annie had begun to tell herself as a result of what she'd been through. And we tapped particularly on her immense disappointment with herself that her performance had dropped to the extent that it had. We tapped on her remorseless self-castigating questioning as she consistently said, "I failed at my job, I failed my friend, I failed myself, I failed my employer." And so we tapped through all of the self-doubt and vulnerability that was created by this situation. And then we used EFT to set up new ways of thinking for her so that when she did start at a new employer, she could do so without the huge levels of anxiety that she had at the beginning of this process. We tapped when her new employers appeared to be managers who used their authority to demand compliance rather than to support and coach their staff. We tapped when she met people who physically resembled Jane and the trigger that created in her starting to feel greater anxiety and overwhelm again. And it became a tool that she would use by nipping into the loos when she needed to in her new workplace to tap on herself, and in the evenings and on the commute into work. And today she is working. Actually, she's doing it very well. She's not in a culture that is right for her, and it's not a role that's particularly well fitted to her either, but she's doing it and doing it well, having at one point thought that she would not be able to work again. I have 10 minutes left. I believe passionately that people can choose their way out of despair, out of depression, and out of the really toxic self-talk that can accompany experiences of workplace bullying. And I believe passionately in EFT as an absolutely central tool, because it's something that clients can learn themselves and take away. And therefore, they have something which they can use in their darkest moments on their own, and that in and of itself creates agency for them, so they don't feel so dependent on having to talk to somebody else. It can be part of their support system. And I also passionately believe that even people who have had many experiences of being bullied can become bully-proof if they can understand what behaviour would be the most self-preserving and self-protective for them at the time of an attack. I can see lots of people tapping on themselves, so I wonder if I could throw it open and see if there are any questions out there or anything people would like to say. No? Okay.
Thank you. I was interested when you mentioned that the person that's being bullied keeps repeating going back to the same people and trusting them. Is it because they're looking for them to behave in a different way? You said that they kind of get stuck, trying to kind of... Annie was trying to befriend Jane and tell her... with the other person in her work, her boss who let her down, but she kept going back and repeating the same... Was that because she was hoping that she would get a different response?
I think in Annie's case, it was partly that she was hoping people would one day wake up and see what was happening, but it was also very much that somehow, by asking for help both from the person who was assailing her and from the managers in that organisation and not getting it, she had lost her power and therefore lost her ability to find new ways of doing things, and she got stuck repeating cycles of behaviour that just were not effective, and it made it much worse for her.
I wondered if you could say a bit more about what kind of strategies are effective in dealing with bullying behaviour, what you find.
I think one of the main things that bullies seek to do is to limit the behavioural choices that the person who they are targeting has in the moment of an attack and ignore or override somebody's boundaries. So as an adult, what most of us do is manage our boundaries to protect ourselves. And I think that what most bullies do in the workplace is either not see those boundaries at all or completely disregard them. And so the behaviour is often very directive, very aggressive, and it denies people choice by the manner of its delivery. And that, to most people, that's so stunning. They kind of go, woof. And in that moment, lose sight of the choices they do have. And one of the things that I coach people to do is to find a choice and utilise that choice. And the very act of deciding for yourself what you want to do in the moment of being abused mitigates some of the abuse.
My son is 18 and he was... badly bullied at school between the ages of 11 and 13, and we withdrew him eventually because we tried lots of tactics and nothing worked. I didn't know EFT at the time. He is still he won't go out. He's dropped out of college. He is full of the self-castigating, self-loathing talk you speak of. I offer him EFT from time to time. He hasn't done it with me for over a year. I think he feels he is just without... I don't know that he can't change anything, that he is just this terrible person. He particularly hates his past self for not being able to do anything. I wonder if there was anything, you know, without EFT that I could do that would help him maybe consider doing EFT, or whether surrogate EFT could help him.
You've got an expert in surrogate EFT standing right next to you, actually, Gwyneth. Can I come and talk to you about it afterwards so we can have a proper conversation?
Yeah.
If I come and find you and we'll have lunch together and talk it through. You're welcome.
I'm very passionate about bullying, workplace or otherwise. And I'd just like to ask the audience, in your experience, because this happens far more than people appreciate, and people get really harmed, how many people have experienced in the workplace bullying? And how many people that have experienced it have experienced really effective methods to help the victim and also help the bully, because often the bullies have real deep-seated issues. How many have experienced really good processes to help those workplaces?
You've got a lot of work to do, Ria.
I just wanted to ask, I mean, the process with the actors, I think it would work so beautifully to also do that for kids, full school situations, just like this lady referred to, because my son was so bullied, but not just by the kids in the school, by even the teachers in the school, and it had to go high up. And if one has, and I love the idea with actors, if one had something like that, then hopefully we can already teach those little ones to never get into the situation you were referring to.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
So I would love for you to maybe do something like that.
Thank you.
I just wanted to observe that sometimes managers aren't supportive, not because of their short-sightedness or not knowing that bullying is happening. Sometimes managers are terrified themselves. And I worked for 3 years in a team where we had a team bully, and everybody knew and everybody was bullied. And she had a manager up against the wall. It was as bad as that, and everybody was paralyzed. Nobody was able to do anything with it. And also just wanted to mention again the importance of triggers, as you described, because anything can be a trigger. I didn't know EFT at the time, but for about 4 years afterwards, every time I saw a car that was the same make as that woman's car, I would just freeze. It was as bad as that. And how EFT is brilliant at unlinking those triggers and desensitizing us to those things. That's a really important topic.
Thank you. Okay, well, thank you very much indeed for listening and for attending. I think we've all earned our lunch now. Thank you.